This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. 30 years ago this week, a cancer researcher at the National Institutes of Health stood next to U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Margaret Heckler as she announced a breakthrough in an epidemic that was terrifying the world.
The probable cause of AIDS has been found, a variant of a known human cancer virus. Second, not only has the agent been identified, but a new process has been developed to mass produce this virus. Thirdly, with discovery of both the virus and this new process, we now have a blood test for AIDS. With the blood test, we can identify AIDS victims with essentially 100% certainty.
The scientist at Secretary Heckler's side was Dr. Robert Gallo, credited as co-discoverer of the virus we now call HIV, human immunodeficiency virus. Dr. Gallo went on to found the Institute for Human Virology at the University of Maryland Medical School. He's its director, and he's here with me in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here, Sheila.
3 decades ago, you were working on cancer, on cancer blood cells, leukemia, at NIH. How did that work lead to working on AIDS?
It's a very good question. We just completed the process of identifying a virus that was for the first time identified in humans. We call these viruses by the name retroviruses. In animals, they usually cause leukemia, not always, but that's the usual thing. So for the first time, we found them in humans and showed that they caused an unusual form of leukemia, generally in young adults, called adult T-cell leukemia. Work with this virus and techniques that we developed to find that virus led us to be in an interesting position regarding the new epidemic, which was being called ultimately AIDS. We thought it was a reasonable idea that AIDS might be caused by a related kind of virus, another retrovirus. The leukemia viruses that we had discovered, the first retroviruses, they targeted, and this was 1980, and again in 1981 we found the second one, they target T cells, critical cells of our immune system, and the very subtype of T cell that clinicians were finding were involved and being lost in this disease called AIDS. So we thought, since these leukemia viruses were, these retroviruses were transmitted by blood, by sex, and by mother to child, by milk feeding, and since the epidemic was being described with risk groups that were people receiving blood or possibly having certain sexual contacts, or babies being born of a mother who was sick with apparently that disease, that it also fit what we were seeing with those retroviruses. And so we thought it would be a related virus, but not one that would cause leukemia, but rather the opposite. Leukemias, the virus makes the cells grow too much. How about another retrovirus with some differences in its outer proteins? I won't get into the technology of why we suspected that, that would make cells not grow enough or kill them. There were, in fact, examples of that in the cats. There's a virus that causes leukemia in cats. It's also a retrovirus. It's called feline leukemia virus, and some variations of it can cause immune suppression. And we knew from work of clinicians in Japan that the leukemia-causing retroviruses also produced immune deficiency, but mild. So did we have a brother that would cause AIDS? Well, it turned out this idea was right, but it's not exactly a brother. It's more like a cousin. When we were able to study the genes and compare them to the leukemia-causing retroviruses, they were sufficiently different that you could not say it was a very close relative, but certainly a retrovirus.
That's Dr. Robert Gallo, co-discoverer of the HIV virus and founder and director of the Institute for Human Virology at the University of Maryland Medical School. Here on Maryland Morning at 8:01, I'm Sheila Cast, and I should say that I serve on the Institute's advisory board. One of the predictions Secretary Heckler made that day in April 1984 was that there would be a vaccine against AIDS in 2 years. Hasn't happened. Briefly, why not?
Right. Well, I'll say the why not, but first I have to correct the always it is said she said in 2 years we'd have a vaccine. But if you go back to the transcript, you'll see she said we could have one ready for testing, and there was. My friend and colleague in Paris, Daniel Zaguri, tested a vaccine in 1986, so she was exactly right.
Okay.
What she couldn't predict is whether we would succeed or not, and that's been the problem. What Secretary Heckler was saying, which was absolutely true, is since we can grow the virus forever, we'll have enough material roughly in a couple of years. She was told that by the director of the CDC, Jim Mason, at the time, and myself. I said, I have no idea if we'll get a vaccine, but we should be able to be in a position to be testing something in a few years' time. That's what we told her, and that actually happened. However, vaccine against HIV, extremely difficult, as it is for any retrovirus. And the reason is at least twofold. Enormous variation of this virus. So you've got to cover a great number of variants, okay? The second, and probably, well, not probably, my mind is even more difficult problem. It's the fact that like any retrovirus, HIV genes become integrated into the chromosomal DNA of the cell that it infects so that the cell is infected for the life of the cell. When the cell divides, the virus genes are passed to the descendants so that the organism, us, is infected forever. Now, that happens pretty rapidly. Within a day or two or three, virus infection is established. So unlike, let's say, polio, unlike other infectious diseases that we have vaccines against of the past, there's no time for recall of the immune system. In other words, let's say you are vaccinated against polio. I assume you are. Me too. Let's say somebody tells us, here's a vial, a little solution of poliovirus, and you must drink it. You drink it. Are you protected? Not against infection generally. You're going to get infected probably. But the virus is in your gastrointestinal tract, where this kind of virus, which is really what we call an enterovirus, goes. But the polio variant of these kind of viruses can go to the neurologic system, to the brain, the spinal cord. It is blocked from doing so by the recall of the immune system, which says, hey, I've seen this before. It saw the vaccine. And it eventually clears it out, and you're protected. But with HIV, we don't have that time. You know, it comes, hits, integrated, it's infection established, 1 to 2 days. And right after that, it's generating variants of itself, you know, variants of the virus that infected. So you're chasing your tail. So we need to block completely, I believe, right at, what do they say, at the get-go, right at the beginning of the infectious process. This is a great challenge.
And that's exactly the challenge that the Institute for Human Virology has gotten funding.
Yes.
To work on a vaccine. You expect to start human trials this summer?
Actually, every little thing that doesn't go perfectly causes a delay. It won't be until the end of the year or the beginning of next year now. We get setbacks, and setbacks are not because of the data, but because of something in the process of producing this, that, or the other that, you know, when you start talking about a clinical trial, everything has to be perfect as you know it. So, you know, when there's a slight imperfection, you sort of like Monopoly, you go back to ground zero. You go back to go, whatever it is in Monopoly. So it causes delays. We've had two of them so far, delaying us almost a year.
But so, you're still optimistic about this
Well,
approach?
I'm optimistic that this is a pathway we should pursue, but I'm also aware of the problems we face. And the problems we face, remember I told you we need to keep the immune response there all the time. We don't have the time for recall.
Mm-hmm.
We have evidence in the last 2 years, especially in the last year, that antibodies of the kind we want are not durable. They don't last very long. So to make this vaccine really work when we go to efficacy, the phase one is only
safety.
Make safety, yes. By the time we get to an efficacy trial, we have to solve this problem of the durability of the antibodies. Antibodies that target the outer protein of HIV, which is what we want to target, like you do against influenza, the outer protein before it hooks onto the cell surface, it just don't last a long time. I mean, we have the problem of the variability. We think we can overcome that. That outer protein called the envelope protein has a lot of variation. We have a vaccine that we think can cover all these variants. We have a vaccine that in monkeys has given us very interesting data. But if you keep low-dose challenging the monkey, you give virus again, you wait another few weeks, you give it again, you see that very soon, within a few months, we lose these antibodies. That can't be a practical, successful vaccine. That problem has to be solved. We can't go to everyone in the world and say, here, we have to give you a boost every couple of months. That's just never going to be the case. Mm. It would first be impossible virtually to produce that much or to solve the economic problems of giving that much or making sure the people came back, et cetera, et cetera. Moreover, when you have to vaccinate very frequently, it's not only not practical and feasible, it also raises a question of some consequences that are possibly medical side effects. So we have to solve the problem of getting these antibodies to last longer. It's a basic science immunology problem. Generally, an audience may not want to hear that because it's not exciting to talk about basic science details, but that's what it's going to take. It takes this problem is where is the patience of the scientist? I can imagine how it wears the patience of the person providing the funding or the listener, but it's the reality.
I appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you, Dr.
Thanks. Gallo. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed being here with you, Sheila.
Dr. Robert Gallo, director of the Institute for Human Virology at the University of Maryland Medical School. 30 years ago this week, he announced that the virus behind AIDS had been identified, which led to a blood test for AIDS and a treatment. At our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning, we've got links to an earlier interview with Dr. Gallo about the tensions of those early years of the AIDS epidemic, and a link to Dan Roderick's conversation with Dr. Gallo on midday last December. I'm Sheila Cass. Just ahead, what's on Dave Barry's mind? Stay tuned to 88.1.